If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you for that introduction, disembodied voice.
Yes, it's been a long time since we've heard from disembodied voice and just done the podcast in general.
Well, yeah, it's been a minute, but we're back.
We are back.
And hashtag Creaky.
We plan to be more consistent so that you guys don't have to wait so long, because I know y'all are just yearning for another hashtag Creaky episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give it to you. So we're going to dedicate some more time to do some research, and we would love to hear from you guys if there's anything specifically you want us to research, or if there's anything that's happened to you, you want to tell the tale. Then send us a message on Instagram or Facebook, hashtag Creaky. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to come on the show and tell your story, that's a possibility too. You just got to reach out to us. Let us know what it is that you want to share or what you want us to research, and we'll do it.
Yeah, because we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. All of our fans mean the world to us, and we're so happy that you're still listening to us, even though we haven't been on for a couple months. But we're going to make this I know we've said it before, but this time we really mean it. We're going to be more consistent with these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And today we don't really have something that we've researched. We're just going to talk about our experiences that we've had with the paranormal and unexplained things that are very creaky.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks, you said that there was something specifically that you wanted to talk about when we did our other podcast, This Bro Show, which is our comedy podcast. Take it away.
Yeah. So when me and Megan talk, we purposely withhold information going on in our lives. Cause it's like, okay, well, we're going to talk about this on the podcast. I'm not going to tell you know, right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, so this is actually something that happened recently where me and my wife, we went to, it was like a tractor supply store.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get some stuff there. And we went outside to look at some of their like potting soil and stuff. And they were coming back in. And as we're coming back in, you know, they have like the automatic opening doors, and there's usually like two of them. You know, you go through one and you can get a buggy and then go through another one.
Yep.
So as we're going through the first one, a buggy just pops out of like all the buggies and just starts rolling backwards. Me and my wife just keep walking past it, and we're both looking at it. We look at each other. We're like, well, that was kind of weird. And we're like, yeah. So then we go up to the front counter, and, you know, we're sitting there waiting to check out and, you know, pay for the console and then go back out there and get it. Mm-hmm. And as we're standing in line waiting, the automatic doors just open by themselves and then close. And we look at each other again. We're like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Right.
You know,
a ghost following you around or something?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It was just really odd how close, you know, that is two things happened, and where it actually happened at, it was all right there at the entrance. The buggy popping out,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was odd enough just by itself. But then the doors opening by themselves with no one there, that was even stranger. And it didn't stop there.
Oh, man.
So the following day, the next day, you know, I go to work, I come home. I usually get home from work fairly early in the morning. And I'm sitting in my game room, and I think I was preparing for a stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this noise coming from the kitchen. Like, it's a pretty loud noise. I was like, what the hell is that? I was like, the cat's getting into something. So I go out there, no cats to be found. Generally, they're usually all asleep in the mornings.
Right.
I go in the kitchen, and there's this picture we have hanging in the kitchen, and it has fallen off. And the frame is shattered into like all four pieces.
Oh, weird.
And the odd thing was, I asked my wife, because I couldn't remember, I was like, where was this thing hanging up at? And it was on the other side of the kitchen.
So it like flew across the room.
I don't know if it, because I didn't see it. So I don't know if it maybe, it was just hanging on one nail. So I don't see it swinging, like falling and swinging or hitting the counter. And then like falling and like launching across the floor.
Right.
I just thought it was like the very next day after that happened at the Tractor Supply. And I just thought, I was like, this is really odd, because the way it looked like it fell off the opposite wall. Like, it looked like it slid down the wall. I was like, this one hanging up over here. So I had to check with her. I was like, where was this at? And she's like, oh, it's over here by the microwave. I'm like, well, that's across the kitchen.
So weird. And there's no way that, like, something could have, like, an animal could have knocked it off and then, like, drug it across
the room. No, I mean, because it was just one noise I didn't hear. And usually, if something happens, the cats knock over something, like, you'll hear the cats scatter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll hear them take off running because, you know, loud crash, they get spooked, they take off running.
Yeah, they don't want nothing to do with it after they made the mess.
But it was nothing. It was just quiet. There were no cats up and about. I think they're all in the back room sleeping.
So and I just thought that was the day after the tractor.
The day after. Hmm. Yes.
So something might have attached to you and followed you home.
Well, possibly. I mean, I've always kind of felt like something's going on in my house. It's not like crazy active, but I know I've talked about some things before, and generally it's my belief that if you don't like full on acknowledge something, that it doesn't give it a whole lot of power, if that makes any sense.
Right. Like a child, basically.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like you just like kind of ignore it and put it behind you to, you know, put it out of your mind. That's not going to be something, you know, it's not going to give it more power. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. I understand. I feel like I can open myself up to things, but then when I close myself, I don't experience it as much.
Yeah, because I've had both me and my wife had some couple other experiences in the house that I'm quick to kind of brush off because I don't want to acknowledge it and have it become stronger, I guess, or more active.
Right. Yeah.
One being, I think I discussed this one fairly early on in the podcast, where I was setting up a voiceover room in my closet. Mm-hmm. You know, I had hung a bunch of soundproof stuff and everything. I was testing out the microphones, and I have this microphone that I use out here on the computer, but I ran a second microphone on my soundboard into that closet. And, you know, I would get into the closet and I would do a voice reading, and I would come back and, you know, listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I could pick up any background noises, make sure the soundproof stuff is working pretty well. And I was sitting there and I was going through and I was, you know, just rewinding the stuff. I was getting ready to listen, and I could hear a noise in the closet. It was like this weird, almost kind of like a scratchingness, like on the microphone.
Oh,
weird. I could hear it scratching, and I kind of stopped. And I looked back behind me at the closet, and I could hear it going. It was kind of like this, like I'll do it on the microphone. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'll try it.
Okay. Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah, it was like something messing with the microphone. And so I was just like, nope. And I turned the volume all the way down the microphone so I couldn't hear it no more. You know, quickly just, you know,
right,
disregard it.
So maybe that you not acknowledging it is more you just being scared and wanting to ignore it.
No, it's scary, but I don't want to encourage it.
Okay, gotcha. Or you.
I mean, yeah, because I'll admit, like, I want to ignore it because it's scary. Yeah. It's the same thing. I don't want to be more scared from more things happening.
Right.
And then my wife had told me it was a while back. I think I had already gotten up in the morning and she was sleeping in. It was on the weekend. And she told me that she had seen like a shadow at the top of the curtains, and then it moved down the curtains to the floor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like it was early morning or?
It was early morning. So it was daylight. But she said she swore that there was a defined shadow at the very top of the curtain, and then it slowly moved down the curtain into the floor. Hmm. And of course, the only thing I did was like, oh, that's weird.
So there's, and after it moved to the, she didn't see anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Once it moved to the floor from like where you're laying in bed, like you can't, like, I don't think she like actually tried to like lean up and see what it was or where it was going.
Right.
And it was just gone. Like, it went to the floor. She lost. She, you know, I guess when she got up, she probably looked around and didn't see nothing. But
I don't know why, but it made me picture like the shadow people on Ghost. Do you remember? Like, you could see them coming, and they would start at like the top of the wall and then travel kinda, like, down.
Slide down. Yeah. Which makes you think, is that like based off of something someone else has seen or experienced?
Right. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So those are some recent stuff that's happened with me. And then, of course, some of those old ones I threw out just to kind of give you some examples of stuff that's kind of happened like in here in the house where I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. And, you know, for people that didn't hear about this, when you went camping, you also had some experiences.
Ah, yes.
Because you, while you do want to ignore the stuff, you also have the equipment so that you can ignore it.
I don't want to do it in my own home, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm fine with going like camping or going to investigate other locations. I just don't want it happening in my home.
Right. You just want it to happen there and for it to stay there.
Yeah, and exactly. And you
come back to the safety of your home.
Mm-hmm. Which we still talk about the camping trip and the weird stuff that happened there. Because for those of you that didn't hear on the previous podcast, my wife had gotten me for my birthday, an early birthday present. She had gotten me a spirit box, which is a little box that rapidly goes through frequencies. And it's supposed to allow spirits to communicate with you through it. Mm-hmm. You know, you would be able to pick up and hear like voices. And then she also got me an EMF detector, electromagnetic field detector. It's supposed to let you know, when there's a disturbance in the electromagnetic field, you know, which is a possible evidence of ghosts or spirit in the area. Gotcha. But we were using the spirit box when we were out camping. And we're sitting there, we're asking questions and stuff. We're sitting around the campfire. It's pitch black dark. And, yeah, and that little thing, a little spirit box, is loud.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you've never heard one, like it's just rapidly going through frequencies, so it just sounds like pretty good impression. So, but we're sitting there, we're like asking questions. Yeah, and our sister Jessie, she's there with us, and she immediately like we had like two questions, and she was like, "Are there any demons here?" And everyone's just like, "Whoa, hang on, this is gonna build up to this. Okay, let's not."
Okay, you devil worshiper, you.
Let's jump head first into the ghost pool here. Let's mm-hmm. let's take it easy, you know. Let's make sure the water's filled up in this thing, okay?
Right.
So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear the word spooky come across.
Ooh.
Like I said, it said spooky, and our brother-in-law, Michael, was the first one. He's like, "I heard it say spooky." And I was like, "Yeah, I heard it too." And as soon as we said that, our dog, Kramer, we had taken him camping with us. He stands up and starts growling while staring into the pitch black dark behind us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And my wife was quick to be like, "Turn it off."
Like, come on, baby, yeah. You got this for me.
Both her and Jesse were getting kind of creeped out. And my wife said that the reason she wanted to turn off is that, you know, she thought maybe Kramer had heard or seen something over there. And we couldn't see it because it's pitch black dark and we can't hear nothing because that spirit box is going.
Yeah.
But that was just, you know, pretty good, you know, coincidental that was like spooky. And then Kramer started just looking off into the pitch black dark and growling at something. But that wasn't the only thing that happened while we were camping.
Mm-mm.
Now, I don't know if there was more. I don't know if this was the night before or the night after. But it was pretty early morning. Like, I want to say it was like maybe 3 a.m. Something like that.
The witching hour.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty, like, it was still pitch black dark outside. I thought it was still nighttime, but it was just like really early in the morning. And we're in the tent, me and my wife and my dog. And we hear what sounds like something moving outside, like rustling through the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
We went in the fall, you know, there's a lot of leaves on the ground. So we heard something moving and we're laying there. And it woke both of us up, and it sounded like someone, like an actual person. It sounded like a person on 2 feet, because, you know, you can tell the difference between, you know, like a deer or something like that, or a raccoon,
right?
You know, just by the sound of their feet, like when they're moving, like their steps.
Mm-hmm.
But this sounded like a person walking past our tent and going towards like the campfire, like into the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately get up and throw my boots on, and my wife was whispering. She's like, "Don't go outside." And I was like, "It's not like a person." I was like, "I'm going out there." I was like, "They'd be messing with our shit right now, you know?"
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I grabbed Kramer, and I think I had one of my hunting knives with me. So I throw my boots on, grab the dog, grab a knife, open up the tent real quick and step out with the dog and a lantern. I turn the light on real quick, you know, trying to catch someone in the act.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody there. No sound of anyone leaving. Nothing. When we were like, when we heard that, because we were both laying there and listening to it, we both heard it. Mm-hmm.
And it nothing. Was too heavy of a sound for it to have been a bird to like fly away.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's, I mean, and it was consistent. It was footsteps closing in, going past the tent and into the camp.
Now, I don't know if many people do this, but like I can feel a presence of a person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's because of the way I feel energy or not, but if somebody's around me, even if I can't hear them, it's almost like I can feel that they're there.
Yeah. Almost like that sixth sense where like you, which I think pretty much most people have, where they have that feeling that someone's watching them.
Yes.
And you do that thing where you turn around, you immediately lock eyes with someone who's looking at you. And this is like that moment like, oh, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Did you have any of that kind of feeling?
Mm-mm.
No, it was just the footstep. You're just hearing the footsteps.
Yeah, just the footsteps. Because at first it was just the rustling leaves. And we immediately thought it was an animal. But then as it walked into the camp and past our tent, mm-hmm. it was like definitely like, that's a person.
You know, it gives me like Blair Witch vibes mm-hmm. almost, you know. Like they're in the tent and they hear people around them. And then they yes. get out and there's nothing. Like you can still hear the people like laughing and stuff. But
yeah. So it was very, very creaky. So I immediately, after, you know, no one was there, I immediately got the fire up and running and going again.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everyone else started waking up at that point, like around like 5 a.m.
So where you're staying, is it an actual like campground that has areas for people to camp, or is it just, you know, pitch the tent wherever you can?
It's just pitch the tent wherever you can.
Oh. You said it was Uwari. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and all we did was just walk the trail for a while. And then we found a spot that was identifiable. There was like this weird kind of pipe sticking out of the ground.
Right.
And that was like our kind of marker to let us know, like, okay, this is where our campground is, you know, off to the left, off the trail here. And we just go straight through the woods and then boom, there's our campsite. But you can't see our campsite from the trail.
Gotcha.
And if you stand on the trail, you can't see our tents over there.
So it kind of out of the way. So you don't want people to like, you know, just be like, hey, what's over there? Let me go take a look at these people's shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't want like people snooping or anything. We, you know, we're just out there camping and having a good time.
Hmm. Well, I've heard that Uwari, and we actually had Jess from the Jarred podcast reach out to us because they did a story on Lake Norman, and our first episode is on the Lake Norman Monster Normie, if you haven't listened to it. And she was asking where you were camping at, and this was before you knew. You had no idea where it was.
because Jesse and her husband, Michael, our brother-in-law, mm-hmm. they're the one who set it up.
Like, so this is what she says, and this is before she knew it was Uwari, because when we first told this, you had no idea what it was. She said, as far as Uwari goes, I've hiked Morrow Mountain a couple of times, and the supernatural energy there was insane. You can tell from the second you get there that it's sacred ground in some way. The energy is absolutely overwhelming. She said her friend and her have hiked a couple times back in 2015, 2016, but the energy was unreal, almost like it was visible in the air, lots of activity there. She says she didn't witness anything, but she could definitely feel it. And she had heard other people, you know, feeling mm-hmm. energy and just things that happened in Uwari, which is kind of crazy that she said that before you even knew where you were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I asked our sister and she was like, oh yeah, we were in Uwari.
And it's like, gasp.
And that's where our Skinwalker episode, another episode that you should listen to if you haven't, we talk about a Skinwalker in Uwari, and that's where like the main North Carolina sightings come from when it comes to Skinwalkers, is in Uwari. And how this one guy was chasing what looked to be like a human bear, and then it got to the river and turned from bear back to human, and it was naked and jumped into the river, and he never saw it again.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that wasn't what was in the camp.
Well, like, just looking at the things that happened in the Uwari Forest, there have been tons of Bigfoot sightings as well. That's right there. Just a little ear. Maybe that's what came into your camp.
Possibly. It didn't sound like, I mean, I say it doesn't sound like a Bigfoot, like I've heard a Bigfoot before, but you know, I would think, like, you know, if I heard like a Bigfoot come walking to camp, that I'd be like, you know, whoa, that sounds like something big.
Yeah. Also, the Uwaris and surrounding areas were favorite stomping grounds of the Native Americans for at least 10,000 years, but probably much longer. So you can imagine that there are probably humans that have been buried in Uwari. Mm. Their legacy and artifacts to future generations include, you know, you could find arrow and spearheads, pottery fragments, ancient campsites, fish traps. There were no Native American tribes permanently occupying the Uwaris when the pioneers did arrive, but several smaller tribes, areas to the east and the powerful Catawba Nation to the west, were no doubt using the Big River, numerous creeks, and fertile forest for fishing and hunting purposes. So that's a little interesting history, that Uwari has a lot of Native American history to it.
Yeah, there was some old graveyard that we were supposed to go hike to as well, but we never got around to it.
I would have been interested to hear of any experiences, maybe with the spirit box or something like that. See, this is one of our investigations. Now that we know Uwari is kind of a hot ground, you know, mm-hmm. of this type of stuff, you know, paranormal, maybe possibly cryptids, UFOs I'm reading about, that this is definitely one place that we can go. And you've been there before, so I've been there before. I used to go because they have areas where you can shoot. So I would go and do target practice and stuff, shooting different guns. It's huge. The area is just huge. There's also cabins that you can rent in Uwari if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of crazy. All the sightings that have been seen there. Mm-hmm. All the lots of different things, UFOs, cryptids like Bigfoot and skinwalkers, ghosts, just energy in general. I think, you know, and hey, listeners, let us know if Uwari is a place you think we should go investigate, because I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, from my experiences there, I would think that'd be one, a good camping trip, but also a good place to investigate.
Mm-hmm. A lot of reports about Bigfoot have been coming out of the Uwaris in recent years. These include very credible sightings and encounters by resident visitors and others. Most of these folks seem reasonable and sincere. This person actually went and interviewed some of them. Of course, we can't say that for all of them, certainly. A lot of videos have been taken too, and some more convincing than others. One was at night in infrared, and if real, seems to suggest the entity was either extraordinarily good at camouflage or was able to go in and out of dimensions. Maybe Uwari is a port, has portals.
Yeah, that would explain, you know, what we talked about before on past podcasts about it being hot spots, which mm-hmm. are like gateways for, you know, interdimensional movement.
Yeah. They've also had their fair share of mysterious UFO sightings over the years. Sometime back in the early 90s, there was a video of one taken as it appeared to be landing in the northern part of the forest, and it was shown on a Charlotte news channel. It was diamond shaped with a bright light coming out of its underside, and it was so interesting that lots of people still remember seeing about it on the news to this day. And additionally, it was around the same time while fishing in a farmer friend's pond near Bisco, which is, I guess, an area in Uwari, that an army helicopter came out from behind a thick forest a couple hundred feet away. I waved as it headed south east towards Fort Bragg. This may be nothing to get excited about in and of itself, but becomes interesting when you consider the forest is a key location for U.S. Army Special Warfare Schools, training of special forces students. So what are they training for out there? Is it paranormal? Because now the government has basically admitted that there have been tons of UFO sightings by military, by the Air Force, the Navy, and a lot of them come from the coast of North Carolina and Virginia, at Virginia Beach, off the coast of Atlantic Beach in North Carolina. So North Carolina seems to be a hotspot for UFOs in general, both in the mountains, in the Piedmont, and the coast. There have been lots of books on Uori, Ghost Tales of the Uoris and Haunted Uoris. The 55 stories in the two books include mainly ghostly and high strangeness events, like the one about a violent ghost whose rampages were finally quelled by incantation. I'm guessing that's some sort of like get out of here ghost. So yeah, I really think we should go and investigate Uori. And I think around the fall time, because that just seems to be the best time.
Yeah, because that's when we were. It was there, I think early November, like mid to early November. It was kind of hot for the time it was, though. Mm-hmm. I remember being, it was because that's why my wife gave me my birthday presents early. My birthday, late November. Right. So she wanted to make sure that I had the spirit box and the EMF detector before we went camping.
I definitely think we should go maybe October, maybe early November, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure how far Uori is from where the Brown Mountain Lights are. Another podcast episode we did on the Brown Mountain Lights, these mysterious lights in the mountains that have been going on for decades, maybe even centuries, and nobody knows what they are. I'm going to look up exactly where it's Brown Mountain Ridge. And I'm going to see how far it is from Uori Forest. Because maybe two birds, one stone. And it's 2 hours away. So it's not like right next to it. But that's another place that I would really like to go, is to investigate the Brown Mountain Lights and see what we see. You know, see if there's anything we can catch on camera. Anything we can, so with your spirit box and your what was the other one?
EMF detector.
The EMF detector. Is there any way to record these things, or would you have to have like a separate recording device?
I think probably the best thing to do would probably be a separate recording device. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a way to wire it through something. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a small tape recorder.
Right, but we don't want anything to interfere with.
Yeah, I think it'd be better to use some type of third-party like microphone to be able to hear exactly what we're hearing with no type of feedback or interference.
Okay, I think that's definitely what we should do. Mm-hmm. And we'll plan it a little bit more and give you guys more information, because we will be adding it to our YouTube channel, which we haven't officially started yet, but we will. We're going to do that. We will have a YouTube channel very soon, and we don't want to just tell you guys about our investigations on the podcast. We want to show you things too. We could do highlights on YouTube. And then of course, talk about it on the podcast, maybe even do some recordings that we could play back on the podcast for you guys. I think that would be really cool.
I would.
All right, let's take a short break, and when we come back, maybe I'll talk about, some things that have happened to me. Ooh. We're back. So, I want to talk about something, and I believe we've talked about it before, that I experienced when I was younger, and didn't know that you or Jesse had experienced the same thing until recently, like within the last 3 or 4 years. Hmm. And that's something that I, really kept to myself. I didn't really tell people about it. But when we were really young, and this is elementary school age, I don't know exactly how old I was, but I'm going to say I was maybe between the ages of 5 and 9, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were young.
We lived in a 2-bedroom mobile home. So there was our bedroom on one end and our parents' bedroom on the other end. And beside our bedroom was our bathroom. And then across from the bathroom was the washer and dryer in that little hallway. And then kitchen, living room, and then our parents' bedroom and their bathroom. So that's exactly how our house was. And it wasn't big at all, but, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. So we all shared the bedroom. And I woke up in the middle of the night and heard what sounded like women singing in the bathroom, as if they were standing in the bathtub. I almost could picture them like hovering above the bathtub. And it was just this tune they were singing. It wasn't even words. It was just like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like that kind of singing, yeah. Right? Okay. And I got up, ran past it as fast as I could. Of course, I did not look in there. Sorry, I hit the microphone. And went to my parents' bedroom. And I want to say it happened more than once. Like, it wasn't just a one-time thing. I heard it several times. And I had no idea. Like, in my mind, I'm picturing their angels hovering over the bathtub and just singing. I knew that's not what they were, but it made me feel better when I was thinking about it. It was very spooky, very scary. I definitely did not feel like it was something safe. I felt danger the whole time. And then you and I and Jesse were talking at Christmas and somebody brought it up and I was like, oh, hell no. I heard that too.
It was me. Oh. I brought it up. I remember we were all sitting there at the table and somehow we got on the top of ghosts and stuff. I think we were just talking about like scary stuff we've been watching. And just kind of the topic of like scary stuff. And I was one, I was like, well, you know, when we were little, I could have swore I heard a woman singing in the bathroom. And both you and Jesse were like just awestruck, just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And both of y'all were like, me too. And I was like, what?
It was
then crazy. After that, I actually quizzed you on it. Like after that, we talked about, you know, doing this podcast and bringing that up. Mm-hmm. And I sent you a message on Facebook and I was like, just real quick, what was the woman singing? And you're like, well, she wasn't really singing anything. She was just kind of humming or something. It was just like a tune. And I was like, oh my God, that's what it was.
Yes. Crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So crazy. And I did some research because we had a creek in our back. Well, we had woods behind our house and in the woods was a creek. And the creek ended up emptying into the Hall River, which goes through North Carolina, goes into Mebane. And it's a big river. So I tried to find any kind of historical records about maybe a woman drowning in that creek or in the river. And I did. I found lots of drownings, but nothing that was close enough to where we live that I thought it could be connected.
Yeah.
So we really have no idea what it was or where it came from. And I was also reading about how as kids, sometimes demonic creatures will take on something like that, where they're trying to pretend to be sweet, nice things to try to get to lure the children to them so that they can, almost like poltergeist, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, hell, that might have been it too, because the way that it said wasn't like a demonic singing at all, you know? It was kind of just like that. I don't know how to describe it exactly how I did. It was just like this tune that they would, it sounded like more than one, but it could be like an echo. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I remember we did research on the drownings because I talked about how there was one night when I heard the singing and I'm pretty like now I think that I was dreaming. But I remember getting out of the bed and slowly walking to the bathroom and I didn't have control over my body. And I was like yelling at myself, like, what are you doing? Don't go in there. What are you doing? Stop. And I was slowly walking in there. And when I turned the corner and started going in the bathroom, there was just one woman sitting in the bathtub and she had long black hair. It was kind of like the ring. She had long black hair and it was kind of covering her face, but she was naked and her skin was really pale and you could see like veins and stuff in her. And I kept walking towards her and the whole time I was just terrified. I was just like inside, I was panicking, but I couldn't stop moving towards her. And it was like these vines or like sticks or something like coming out of the bathtub and slowly reaching like to me.
Oh.
And that's when we got on the whole topic about, you know, what if it was a woman like that drowned? Because after that, like, I don't remember what happened after that. I don't remember if I woke up or anything. I just remember that dream and how terrified I was. And then there was another night where I remember laying in bed and I was just staring into the hallway. You know, because our mom would leave the hall light on for us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, rightfully so, because we were terrified as kids.
Yes.
And
and we had good reason to be.
We had good reason, apparently, to be terrified. But I remember laying there and I was just staring off into the hallway. And all of a sudden, the door moved a little bit. And at first I was just like, did that door really move? Or am I just seeing things? And then it moved again. I was like, that door just moved. And then very, like extremely slowly, it started closing. Like it started moving again, but it just kept going and going and going. And I remember just laying there wide-eyed, watching this door slowly closing and cutting off that light from the hallway. Like that light was getting slimmer and slimmer. And the room was like very dark.
Yeah. We and lived in the country. I mean, if y'all couldn't pick that up, but with woods and a creek, but we live really far in the country.
Yeah. And it was slowly closing. I remember just sitting there like begging, like thinking, please stop. Please don't close. Please don't close. Please don't close. Please just stop.
Mm-hmm.
And right before it closed all the way, there was just a sliver of light coming in through the door right before it closed. I jumped out of the bed, stuck my fingers into the small opening, swung the door wide open, and just kept hauling ass down the hallway, down the trailer into our parents' room.
Yeah.
In one, like, just swift motion, I was just like, it was crazy how fast I hopped out of that bed, and I was probably, you know, across the trailer in our parents' bed in like 2 seconds flat.
Yeah. Ooh. Did you have, all right, so you saw that, did you feel anything? Do you remember feeling any, I mean, other than intense fear?
Oh yeah, I remember laying in bed many nights with my eyes shut pretending like I was asleep because something was watching me waiting for me to open my eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I the same thing. Sometimes I felt like it was outside the window looking in. Sometimes I felt like it was in our room.
Yeah. And I had to try and trick it. I had to make it believe that I was asleep so it would leave me alone.
Yeah.
But that it was sitting there waiting for me to open my eyes.
Mm-hmm. I felt that a lot too. And I had the worst nightmares of my life living in that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had nightmares as an adult and a teenager, but none compare to the nightmares that I had while we were living in that house. Just so, like, I had a nightmare of you like melting and turning into like this monster creature. I don't know, that one was scary. I also had this nightmare of us going to visit our dad at work and he was hanging from a tree and we like hit him with the car and I remember looking back and him just swinging and we just kept going. And as a child, that is terrifying. Like,
yeah.
I'd never heard of people hanging or anything. You know what I mean? Like, why would I dream that? Just like horrible, horrible nightmares. And I had one that now I think, was it a nightmare? Did I dream this or did it really happen?
Was this about the Jesus picture?
No. Okay. So we'll get into that one. This is a little bit different. This is different. So I was sitting at the table. So our table was in the kitchen. We didn't really have a dining room. It was just a kitchen and the table was on one side and the stove and cabinets and everything were on the other. And our back door was beside the table. So I was sitting at the table drinking something and I just happened to look up and it was like a diamond shaped window in the door. And it looked like an alien. And at first it wasn't looking at me. It was just kind of looking around the room. And then it saw me and it just kind of stared at me.
And I locked eyes with you.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm not seeing this. I looked away and then I looked back and it's still there staring at me. And I remember seeing the doorknob like jiggle, but the door was locked so it couldn't get in. And I put my cup down and ran and got in our parents' room. So I don't know if that was a dream or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know, as a young child thinking it was a dream, so I just felt better, or if I really did see an alien creature, because I did see, we all saw, you don't remember, but we all did see a UFO in the sky at that trailer. It looked like an egg and it was flipping from top to bottom. That's what it looked like in the sky, an egg just flipping from top to bottom. And we had no idea what it was. It was broad daylight. It didn't have lights on it, but again, it was daylight. So if it did have lights, we couldn't see it. And that happened before my dream or my actual experience of seeing this alien in on our back porch looking in through the back door window. And then you mentioned the Jesus picture. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, because I think a lot, like, you know, we're discussing this stuff more in depth now because, and I'm sure a lot of people have had, you know, experiences when they were kids and have passed it off as dreams or, you know, just, you know, being mm-hmm. dumb kids with wild imaginations.
Right, right.
But like the more, you know, we find out we have so much in common, coincidental with, you know, with us as kids, you know, it makes you think of, you know, does that really mean, was that really a dream or did that really happen?
Right.
Because I had something similar that, you know, up until we started talking about this stuff, I always passed off as a dream. That I was laying on the couch in the living room. And once again, I was, you know, a little kid. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure I was either watching cartoons or old TV shows. And I'm laying there. We had that Jesus picture in the living room. And that's what was just a very old school looking picture of just, you know, Jesus' like upper body. And I think he didn't have his arms crossed. They were kind of like laying on each other, or like he wasn't quite like holding his hands, but
yeah, it was almost like he was looking to the side too. It wasn't like a
it wasn't like it's not like Mona Lisa. It is like Mona Lisa, but he was kind of like to the side and looking mm-hmm. off into the distance. Mm-hmm. And I was laying there watching TV and I just kind of glanced over and then I had to do a double take. I looked back and it was like the picture, like he was looking down at me, like I could see him making eye contact with me and I could see like the white of his eyes above like his pupils and his iris. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's not how that picture was. The picture is he's like looking off to the left,
right? Crazy.
But yeah, and I look back to the TV and I look back and it's still doing it, and I just remember thinking like oh my god what's happening, and I just stayed there and I was like, as still as possible. And after that, like, I don't remember what happened. I don't know if I panicked and took off running. I don't even remember, like, who was in the trailer with me. I just remember that moment. I still have that, like, that perfect image in my head of looking up and seeing him just kind of, like, wide-eyed looking down at me.
Mm. Not very Jesus-like.
And I believe Jesse had a similar story as well with that Jesus picture.
I used to fall asleep on the couch. Because it was in the living room, like you said, and mm-hmm. I would wake up and I would swear that it was looking straight at me. And I one time I felt like it blinked and I went berserk and went and ran in mom and daddy's room.
I think that was Jesse's story. I think Jesse said that the picture blinked, either blinked or winked at her.
Oh, yeah, I remember too, like it blinking. There is definitely something in that house, and even our house that I consider. So I lived in this house that we were talking about, the trailer, until I was about 10. And then we rented houses before we finally bought another house when I was around 11 or 12 in another rural area. And I consider that the house I grew up in, even though we basically grew up in the trailer and this house. Just because I spent my teenage years there, and that house, lots of experiences too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was the same entity that followed us or if we just got lucky and had two separate entities or haunted houses or something.
What makes you think too? Because I wonder if other people have had these things where, like, no matter where they went, they always have had experiences from when, you know, them being young all the way up until like adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if other people have just like said, you know, I always end up in hot spots, but are you technically the hot spot?
Right. Is whatever it is latched onto you. Mm-hmm. And at the other house, so the teenage years house, this one wasn't a trailer. It was a bigger house. I mean, it wasn't huge, but it was a brick house and we all had our own bedrooms. And in my bedroom specifically, I just felt a lot of energy back there and bad stuff would happen. I remember my blow dryer just flying across the room while I was sitting on my bed. Like, there was nothing in there that could have caused it to fly across the room. It just flew across the room, didn't fall. It went from one point of the room to the other. And I could not keep my closet door shut, no matter what. And my friend Nomi, who used to spend the night with me, brings this up a lot because I would show her. I would be like, look, we're going to go to bed. I am closing the door, putting a laundry basket full of clothes in front of this door. And she woke up before I did, and the door was open and the laundry basket had moved. And she's like, oh my God, we're going to stay the night at my house from now on. And the TV would cut on and off. And I do know sometimes that was you with the remote.
Yeah, I did like to do that a lot.
But sometimes when you weren't there, it had happened. And I remember one specific time, this is when I had my two boys. So I was an adult. I was separated from my husband at the time and I was living with daddy. And I bought a laptop and I was hooking it up to the internet and your room had the modem. So in order for it to work, I had to like wire it into the modem first before the Wi-Fi would work. So I was in there trying to get it all situated so that I could use it. I'm the only one there. It is getting dark. It's nighttime. Nobody else is there. I hear the front door open and close. And I'm like, hey, I'm here. I'm back here trying to get this computer to work. And then I hear footsteps into the kitchen and the refrigerator door open and close. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's my brother or my sister or my dad or somebody. Mm-hmm. So I go in there. I was hoping it was you because I needed some help getting this modem to work. And it's nobody there. The door is locked. Literally nobody is there. So I get the computer and I leave. I'm like, I went to my mom's house because my mom had the boys. She would watch them while I worked. I was like, I'm not staying here by myself right now because it just scared me that much. And I just felt like danger. Like I just felt the sense of danger, even though I knew whatever it was probably wasn't dangerous. That's just what I felt.
Yeah. Just that initial, that fear.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'd heard, like, I would keep my TV on at night because I would just hear sounds all night and I would just lay there and listen. So I'd keep the TV on to kind of drown it out so I could sleep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's where we got that? Leaving our TVs on, like where we're sleeping to drown out any noises and stuff we heard?
I think so. Like, I feel like whenever I lived in the house that I lived in when I met my current husband, Kevin, shit would happen in that one too. And I would leave the TV on. But then after him and I got together, I guess I started to feel safe enough to turn the TV off. But I mean, even now, I'll leave it on to go to sleep. It's just like a habit. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And your experiences in house number two?
Well, that one, of course, I always, I don't know if it was just the duration we were in the house because we were in the house the longest. But I feel like in that house, I heard my name being called by no one all the time.
Yeah.
I would hear someone go, Brooks. And I go, yeah. And then nothing.
You answered it?
I did. I would get up and I'd walk in there and there'd be no one in there. And I would immediately turn around and go, nope.
Yeah. You know, now that you say that, it happened to me too in that house.
And it was a lot. It was excessive. It was crazy the amount of times I've heard my name being called by anyone, you know, whether it be like our mom or our dad or, you know, you or our other two sisters.
So would they say Brooks or Bubba or both?
They would say it was mainly Brooks.
Hmm.
Yeah. Which was obvious because everyone called me Bubba.
Yeah.
But I thought that, that's why I thought, you know, this might be something serious. They're calling me out by my name.
Right. I got to go find out what they want.
What's happening. And then, of course, there was the experience I had with the shadow figure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I came up with the theory about my shadow figure, which I'll talk about that after I talk about the experience. But I was in the room. I was eating a bowl of cereal, watching TV. And I get up and go across to the dining room to, you know, go around into the kitchen to put the bowl in the sink. And as I'm crossing from the living room into the dining room, which is all one big room, it was just sectioned off by, like, you know, the living room was carpeted, the dining room wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm crossing there, I can see out of the corner of my eye in the hallway, someone go from, like, Jesse's room into the bathroom.
Hmm.
And it was, like, very solid figure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was a person. Unmistakable, like, that was a person. And as I go into the dining room, after I saw that, I stopped and was like, wait a minute. I was like, I'm the only one here.
Ooh.
So I creep into the kitchen, I put my bowl down the sink, and I grab a knife. And I remember I was peeking out into the hallway.
Oh, wait a minute. The knife is your weapon of choice when it comes to these things, I've learned.
Yes, yes. Okay. This is my two-go-to weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grab a kitchen knife and I peek out from the kitchen to the hallway and I'm listening. I'm waiting for either someone to come out of that bathroom or at least hear someone messing around in the bathroom because I am, like, you know, 100% sure there's somebody in there.
Yeah.
But the light is off and everything, like they didn't even turn the light on or anything. So I go in there and I slide my hand in and I turn the light on real quick. And I look around, nothing. But then we also had that shower in the corner. You know, our bathtub and shower were separate. We had the stand-up shower next to the bathtub in the corner. And it had that that weird, like, foggy, like, glass.
Plexiglass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I go over there and I cut the light on because the little light switch on the outside of it. I hit the light and I, you know, look around in there. Didn't see nothing. I opened the door just to make sure. Nobody in there. And I'm just dumbfounded. I saw someone come in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Did you feel anything? Any kind of energy?
No, I didn't feel anything. I mean, because when I saw a person, like, you know, there's a person there. That's somebody. That's right. Jesse going from our room to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody in the house with me.
Mm. My
theory that I came up with after experiencing that is that shadow figures might be just what they call residual hauntings.
Yeah.
Where it's just, you know, spirits or ghosts, you know, moving through doing their normal routines, you know, back in the past, and that we're catching these glimpses of them. They're like imprints in time, you know, playing out.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So I now have a pretty strong belief that, you know, with at least shadow people, or at least seeing stuff like that, that you're seeing, you know, these imprints of energy of people in the past.
I feel like that's a common thing people, when it comes to paranormal, is that they see shadows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, like, that's a common occurrence of people experiencing things like this, but seeing the shadow. They'll see a shadow out of the corner of their eye, or they'll actually see a shadow move with nothing that could have caused the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, your wife with the shadow of the top of the curtain coming
down. That I wouldn't think is residual. I don't think there's anyone, I mean, unless it's, like, maybe residual of, like, an animal on top of the curtains and then right. coming down the curtain. I don't know.
Right. Or it could be a pole dancer.
Yeah, and just practicing their routine. Yeah. I don't know.
You never know. But, yeah, like. Ooh, I feel stuff outside this house. So we bought this house in August, and this is a brand new house. This was had just gotten built. Nobody else has ever lived in this house. We're the first people, brand new. Not to brag, but this is just how it is. And just so you know, like, nobody else has lived here. There's no way anybody else could have died in this house or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This was farmland too that was sold off. So this used to be, like, woods. That I don't think that there could have been a house on this area.
Yeah.
And I'll go outside early morning and sometimes at night. You know, in the morning, I'll go out there and drink my coffee and just get my day started. And sometimes it's dark and I just have this feeling of there's something, because there's woods behind our house, because there's still farmland behind the house. So there's, you know, cows and chickens, and then there's woods directly behind the house. And then the field is kind of to the right. But I feel something, like something is in the woods watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. Like, I keep my back to the house, so I'm looking at the woods. I don't have my back to the woods ever when I'm staying out there. It just feels like something is watching me. And we have coyotes in the area. And I'm also kind of scared of, you know, maybe a rabid coyote coming after me. So I try not to go out there at night. But sometimes if I want to have alone time before the kids get up, that's the only time I have available to go out there is when it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like something's watching me. So I try to hurry up and get done doing whatever I'm doing, drinking my coffee or having my alone time so I can get back in. And I've heard like the coyotes howling, and that kind of scares me too. But I always think, oh gosh, it's going to be a skinwalker. A coyote skinwalker is going to come get me. I'm going to see it walking out the woods. It's kind of a creepy thought. But whatever it is definitely back there, and it's definitely aware of me.
Mm-hmm.
I just know for a fact that is something, and I don't know what it is, but it's going to get me if I don't hurry up and get done.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes back to the whole, you know, sixth sense thing, is, you know, I'm sure you've had these moments, and I know I have. I can't really like pinpoint one, but it's those moments where, you know, you start getting goosebumps and like the hair on the back of your neck stands up, and you're kind of like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Yes. And it's happened while I'm in the shower. It's almost like I can feel somebody come in the bathroom, and I'll think it's my husband or something. And I'm like, what do you want? And I'll look and there's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, who is it? This is a perverted ghost, I guess.
one of them pervert ghosts.
Yeah. But there's definitely something. I feel something around here. And I have this, like you said, the sixth sense, and I've even been able, I feel like, to communicate with spirits. We don't have to get into that in this show, but I feel like I have that gift almost where I can communicate with spirits, but I have to open myself up to it and just let it happen. I was at my friend Nomi's house, and I've communicated with spirits at her house a lot. It's almost like her house is a hot spot too.
Mm-hmm.
But behind her house, I had this overwhelming feeling of fear, like something evil is back there. And I told her that. I was like, you know, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to make you, you know, feel bad or upset, but I feel like there's something behind your house that is definitely evil. And if I was you, I would not go back there. You know, I said, it's farther back into the woods. It doesn't feel like it's right up on your house, but I can definitely sense something. And she told me, after I told her this, a story about her brother-in-law and sister-in-laws and some of their friends, like wanting to go back in the woods and see what was back there. And they got back there and there was like these things hanging from the tree, almost like Blair Witch type things hanging from the tree back there. And like this circle back there of like just where the grass isn't growing and such. And she said it freaked them all out and they came running back. And then after I told her that, she told them and they were like, oh God. But yeah, like I felt that. And that was before she told me what they saw. So there, she's definitely got something. And while I was at her house, I woke up and I saw this like shadow guy in her back window, which is behind her house where I felt that. And it like pointed to the side. And then it just went away. And again, I could have been dreaming. I could have just dreamt that I woke up and saw that, you know,
mm-hmm.
But it just gave me this sense of dread. Like, oh my God, what is going on? Lots of things happen at her house and I would love to possibly bring her on the show or something, but just crazy how I could feel that. And then she substantiated it with what they experienced, you know?
Mm.
So it's almost like I can differentiate between feeling like a spirit or something and it being, I wouldn't say good, but just like neutral, like it's there, and then feeling something evil.
Something malevolent.
Yes, exactly. So, because sometimes I can feel it and it doesn't scare me, doesn't bother me. It's there. And then other times I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here. So, yeah. I don't know if you've ever felt anything evil like that before.
I mean, I don't know if it's because I am purposely kind of like shutting down myself to stuff like this.
Right.
Which I'm sure like there's, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, like, you know, I may have had experiences, but, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. You know, this happened and I just kind of brushed it off. Mm-hmm. And if that's just their, you know, subconsciously, they are closing themselves off of this. They're not wanting to expose themselves to this.
Right. I think a lot of people are like that.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm in that same kind of like category where like weird stuff happens. I'm like, oh, wow, that was weird. You know,
I also feel like as a child, you don't really know how to do that. So that's why you experience more. Mm-hmm. And you're not really taught like, oh, ghosts aren't real. That can't be real until you're older. So I do feel like, and I've heard this, and I'm sure everybody's heard this, that children are more open to those types of experiences because of, you know, that or whatever reason. That's why you hear kids talk about things that they've seen. They're not embarrassed of it like adults would be, you know, to be kind of marked as crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at most of your experiences you talk about happened when you were younger, you know. And some today, but again, you closing yourself off doesn't leave the potential of more happening as often.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think mainly just because, you know, like I'm definitely down for doing investigations and going out and, you know, trying to capture some evidence. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like being in my own home, like I don't want to be spooked in my own home.
Right. Yeah. And you don't want to open yourself up so that it happens all the time. You can't get no damn sleep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to do an investigation soon, for real. No lie. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear from our listeners. If you're not following us on Instagram or Facebook, go give us a follow and like so that you can stay up to date with our new episodes, and that gives you a way to communicate with us and let us know, you know, something that's happened to you, or if there's something specific that you would like to research. Maybe it's something that happened to you or a friend, or you've heard stories and you really want us to look into something. Let us know, because we're happy to do it. We're happy to take feedback from you guys and apply it to future shows. And if there's specifically places you want us to investigate, we would like to stay local to North Carolina, South Carolina, that area for now. But as we grow, which we will become, you know, worldwide famous. After that happens, then we're probably going to be able to go anywhere. I would say United States, but anything local like that, let us know. Brooks, anything you want to add?
Well, just being that the theme around this, you know, episode being personal experiences, yeah, we would love to hear your personal experiences.
Definitely.
And especially, if, I mean, it could be any personal experience that you may or may have thought was a dream, but kind of coincides with what we've been talking about. Maybe mm-hmm. something similar, maybe something completely different that you experienced as a child or even recently.
Yeah, anything that, yeah. You know, could be considered paranormal or unexplained or just makes you wonder, what the hell was that? Let us know.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it on the podcast and kind of give our views on it.
Yeah, and do a little bit of research and see if any other people have maybe experienced the same thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let us know. And then next time, we don't really know what we're going to be talking about next time. I was thinking UFOs because of the UFO, the government coming out and saying, yeah, there are UFOs. We don't know what they are, but we're going to tell you that we've seen them. And it's been happening for a long time. And a lot of those sightings are on the North Carolina, Virginia coast. So I was thinking of doing some research on that. And, you know, if you've had any experiences, let us know. And we can add that to either that episode or future episodes. What do you think, Brooks? UFOs?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay. Until next time, keep it creaky.